Hi, and welcome to the Marvel Rivals Review, a podcast where normally 3 men in their 30s talk all things Marvel Rivals, from the news to the balance and all the inevitable drama that comes with being an online community. Today, we added a fourth guy. Yeah. We asked for a high-ranked player, and we did not do that. We immediately sold out to the doctor guy.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
Hey, but he's a doctor.
So please, everybody, let's take a second and welcome Florida Man, MD.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
It's funny because...
Please introduce yourself.
Well, hang on. Before we jump into this, before we dive into that, we asked for like a high-ranking player, we looked at his application. And Conrad was like, he's not really high ranked like we're looking for. I'm like, but he's a doctor. He's high ranked in life. That's close enough.
I ranked up in school, but the video game, we'll see.
So please introduce yourself.
Yeah, so I am Florida Man MD. I am a physician, obviously. I live in Florida also, potentially very obviously. And the truth is, I am Florida Man.
Oh my god.
It was me.
How many alligators have you wrestled?
You might see me on the evening news on your feed, some craziness. That's pretty typical. So my hobbies is playing Marvel Rivals, and I heard the podcast, reached out, and really excited to be here.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're glad to have you.
Yeah, and also, as always, I'm joined by the Heater Work.
Right here. Hello.
And Peter for sure. Gaming.
Hello. Hi. I'm going to interrupt you again. I'm sorry. So for anybody that feels like we already know how some of these answers and responses are going to be, we recorded this last night and my audio quit working it never even started. It didn't start until about like 15 minutes before we ended. So we have to reshoot this. So if it seems like we already know what we're talking about, it's because we already
did. Yeah. Yeah, Vance quacked us. Can we say quack?
Oops.
Well, if not, I'll put
that's
a duck
safe,
sound.
Right?
Yeah.
One thing, hold on. Another one more thing we didn't touch on since we yet last time. Explain to the people who don't know about Florida Man your default keyboard setup.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That was very interesting.
Yeah, so please don't think that I'm a psychopath, any listeners, and also you all. Marvel Rivals, for some context, is my first PC game. I've had a PC for a while, but did not play games on PC until I think Baldur's Gate 3, and didn't play any competitive games on PC.
Yes,
the best. Way too many hours in it. But when I switched from Overwatch on console to Marvel Rivals, I had a little bit of, obviously, difficulty adjusting to the mechanics of, PC for shooters. And one of the issues that I had was that, I couldn't, quite figure out, not necessarily couldn't figure out, but I kept messing up a lot of my button presses a lot of the times. And I saw on an old video from Overwatch days of some off meta PC settings. I was like, let me look at this and see if there's something that can help me. And I discovered this setting called ESDF, where instead of WASD for your movement keys, you shift everything over to the right and it's ESDF for your movement keys. So what that does is a couple of things. Number one, it lets you have access to more buttons in range of your fingers. So for Rivals, it helps because I feel like I can reach my buttons. And then the other thing I love about it for me specifically is that as a 30-plus-year-old person trying to learn PC controls for the first time, my hands are naturally in the position where I am for typing. So I know where all the buttons are. No longer do I have to look for a key. I just intuitively know how to move my hand to press R or to press A or whatever the button is. So it, for me, I feel like made the transition to PC controls a lot smoother. So if you find yourself struggling to occasionally mess up your buttons, or you're just looking for something that might change up your gameplay, I highly encourage everyone to try out ESDF. So this is doctor recommended.
Imagine the moment when you get mad in game and you go to type something and you come back and try to put your fingers on the keyboard and you accidentally hit your alt.
Yep, exactly. Does that still happen to me sometimes? Right. Does that still happen to me? Yes, but way less than it did before.
Am I wrong in the fact that when I play, I still use WASD, but I have my fingers set up like I normally would if I'm typing, and I use my ring finger to hit W and S? Am I wrong in that? Should I be shifting my hand over to the left and playing it that way? Have I been playing wrong this whole time?
Yes.
Using your ring finger to hit W and S?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, put your middle finger on W. Yeah, that's what are you doing?
It's not that it's wrong to do it that way, Vince. I would say for me that would make it harder to hit your shift button without like taking your hand off of the movement key.
Hey, we're an honest podcast here. We can tell him he's wrong.
That's what I do. So like I have to hold.
You should try ESDF. That's the solution. There you go.
Or I just shift my hand to the left and just use my middle finger for W and S. So
that works too.
I'm learning a lot about myself, and I'm not quite thrilled about it, if I'm being honest.
And this guy's not new to computer games.
No, I'm not. So I've been playing wrong for many, many years.
You're telling me you even wowed that way too?
Yeah, that's how I wow. Well, to be fair, I have a Razer Naga, so I don't have to worry about the number buttons up top. So I have all my buttons on my thumb. So I don't care. It's like the only issue that I have is like when I play shooter games, if I need to crouch, I have to rebind it from control to something else because I have Whopper Jr. hands. So I can't, well, regardless in anything, if it involves the control button,
I know
I can't hit the control button without taking my hand off of all my buttons. And then I get all kind of skewed going back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
once again, Marvel Rivals, we are asking you to add crouching to the game.
No, hot take, they should not add crouching to this game. I think crouching would be terrible for this game. Keep it out. I don't want it.
Or crouching, but the sound cues are still there, and you can just teabag. That's all I really care about.
What is a teabag? But a handshake between two adversaries over a well-fought match.
Gentlemen,
play Iron Man and spam the emo. That's your teabag.
Okay. So in the terms of Marvel Rivals, though, in the last 2 weeks, what's new with you guys?
Your boy's Platt.
He did it. He finally did it.
He did it.
Yeah.
I have been playing very seldomly, more than I usually do, but I hit silver 2, so you know that's. Yeah, I don't care about your boost. I've seen what makes you cheer.
You act like I don't look at your carrier profile. You silver 3, little.
Am I silver 3? I thought I was silver 2.
You're silver 3.
Oh, yeah. I'm throwing. All right.
You act like I don't look at your guys' previews and see your guys' kind of like profiles and don't see when the last time you played was. Mm.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And so as I was a Hawkeye one trick, I have now evolved to include Psylocke in my repertoire.
Yes.
And I think I'm doing pretty well. You guys have watched me pop off on her a couple times and fail miserably in others, but I think I'm doing okay.
I'm gonna be real. That one game I watched of you the other day, we were waiting for the podcast. Like, I thought that was at least gold level Psylocke from what I could
see. So let's go.
Keep playing.
I just carried Conrad as Thor in our games earlier today.
Oh, yeah. Dante, Dieter Work over here carrying me for sure.
Fellow Thor enjoyer. Thor enjoyer.
Beat them DMs up.
Asgardians rise up.
All right. Lord of Man.
I have been not playing too much this week. I've had a lot of shifts for work this week, but before I started my work week, I had a really good few days of competitive, and I made it to Diamond 2 Ban Lobbies. So that's been really interesting. There are a lot of meta abusing one tricks in Diamond that are completely useless if you ban their characters. I unfortunately have gotten them on my team for like 4 out of my 5 games so far in Diamond 2, and I had like a Wolverine one trick that was useless when that character got banned, a Hulk one trick that didn't know how to play any other tanks at all. And so it's been interesting so far. So
Love the bands. Gotta love the bands. Wolverine is amazing.
To be fair, you had a Wolverine one trick, which he already is useless as it is. So I don't know what the ban effort, like that guy was going to be useless regardless of whether he was banned or not.
Right. Spread the information. Wolverine's terrible, guys. Don't play Wolverine, please.
Bad character. Super bad. I have been learning Captain America on an alt account. And I bullied my way up to Diamond again. So
to freedom.
To freedom, dude. I have like an 80% win rate in comp on him. So it's like, I'm just saying, maybe the system isn't working against you all out there. Now I got 2. I got Captain America, Mr. Fantastic. I'm spreading my wings, man.
Nice.
Not very far.
Oh, and Luna Snow, but I don't play support anymore because I'm better than that.
You don't want to be boosted?
the shade of it all.
When you're as handsome and as talented as I am, you just stay away from the lesser roles.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Watch how many hours on the list now.
Yeah, poor support players still catching strains from last week. What the?
No.
We'll get there. We'll get that. We'll get to that. I got some stuff for tank players today.
Yes.
So I do have to make a couple public announcements real quick. So please join our Discord and join our community. Please. I made a mistake last week where the link I put, I didn't realize it expired after 7 days. So if any of you have tried to join and can't, that's my bad. The link going on this episode will be forever. So please join our Discord. Yeah. We'd love to see you there. We are a growing community and a lot of cool people there.
Come say hi.
I also want to do a podcast faction for the tournament so that we can lose spectacularly, but you know, get our name out there. So please, if you'd like that, there's going to be a section in the Discord here shortly for people that are interested in joining the faction and participate in the tournament. I think registration ends in 19 days. So we got a few weeks to figure it out. All right. I want you to know that we do read all your comments on Spotify. I just figured out how to read those. So there's a couple of shout outs I'd like to do real quick. I'm just going to read your comments real fast. To Joe, you guys are the best. Thanks for caving gaming a positive space. Really appreciate the inclusive comments from the last show, and we'll definitely follow the show. You guys rock and way to handle the haters. We appreciate it, Joe. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you, Joe.
All right. JJ Devins from over a month ago. Greatly put together episode. Just follow. Can't wait to see more episodes pop up in the feed. Also, what's up with games like Overwatch, Rival, COD, etc. with sprays as an unlock? Pretty garbage reward across the board. Couldn't agree more, JJ. And Connor, loving the podcast. Who do you think the hardest character to master and the easiest character to master? Rocket's the easiest. Spider-Man's the hardest. Easy question. Easy day.
Well, no, hang on now. Wolverine is definitely the easiest to learn. The hardest is probably, God, I don't know. Maybe Spider-Man.
Maybe Iron Fist if you're like trying to be good.
I think Iron Fist because he just you have to really die a lot. There's a lot of trial and error with Iron Fist.
I still think Iron Fist is easier than Spider-Man. I'm gonna say it.
He is easier than Spider-Man.
Probably, yeah. I think Iron Fist is mechanically easier than Spider-Man, but the timing I think is more punishing for Iron Fist because he has the Captain America problem of he takes a long time to kill something, but you'll eat up a lot of people's time. And as soon as someone else turns around to fight you, you just explode. So, I would probably agree with that too. I think Wolverine is easy to get a very high amount of value out of. Like the ceiling, I think, is still high for that character, but he just annoys me because I'm a tank player. But yeah, it's very easy to do his basic loop and get like a lot of value from his basic loop. And then Spider-Man, I think same with you, Dieter. I think Spider-Man is probably up there for the mechanically difficult characters.
He's just got a lot of animation cancels and stuff like that you got to keep up on. And it's just engaging with him, right? He doesn't get shields or any extra health like a lot of these like other dive characters do. He's just got his 250 squish, and
He gets shields when he ults.
Yeah,
but only when he ults, and he can still be stunned out of his ult, unlike a lot of the other ones. So, and Iron Fist, he gets like a block every 3 seconds during his ult. So super annoying. All right, where was I? Okay. Also, we decided as a podcast, one of the things we'd like to do is we want to hear your hot takes, but we want you to tell us your hot takes on our episodes. We want to bring in community members rotating to join us and tell us what they feel about the game or what they want talked about or what problems they have or to get your voice heard from you. So we are going to have a spot in the Discord for people interested to put out their things. Now, I will say we will do that segment not live, because if anybody's gonna get me canceled, it's gonna be me.
Yeah.
There you go.
Or me.
All right. Last week, we got a little bit political at the beginning of the episode, and honestly, there was a lot of a couple comments, but it really bothered me. a lot of comments.
You're in his head.
Two comments that were negative about us going political. And what I want to say is that the focus of this podcast will always be the game, but we will not cease in advocating for marginalized groups, especially if it pertains close to the game or our careers or, you know, just like common decency, I feel. So like, yeah, this is a safe space. Our podcast is a safe space. People, regardless of your gender identity, regardless of your race, ethnicity, anything, you're welcome here. Your voices are heard. You're a valued person here. If you got a problem with that, I am not sorry to lose you as an audience member. So.
Thanks.
Yes.
Anybody got anything else to say about that?
We are who we are, man. And we will not apologize.
That's don't right. be a Nazi. That's it.
That's
not very hard. Thing. Sorry, yeah. You don't be a Nazi. Yeah.
It's not hard. It's really not.
No, yeah. Okay. All right. So let's talk about some game news. So yes. Marvel Rival Skin Game lately has been on fire.
Girl, they can cook.
They can cook, dude. Let's talk about Captain America, the Infinity War.
We know why you want to talk about this.
I love that skin, dude.
Yeah, it is fire. And the little emote is crazy with the Thanos hand. That's
pretty sound. Cool. The sound of the shield smacking is just so satisfying. Like,
doink, 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 doink. Yes. I love it. I love jumping on the squishies as Captain America and just punching them in the face until they blow all their cooldowns and then just run away. And then my favorite thing in the game right now.
Why I learned Loki.
Well, see, the thing is, like, Captain America is like the Loki thing, they can just fade away. But if you throw your shield at the ground, just they just faded away, it'll automatically bounce to them invisible and just reveal
them.
Same, same trick for Invisible Woman, too. They think they can get away, just like, nope.
Wow.
There you go.
That's fair.
Yep. Ooh,
Diabolical.
Yeah, I love it. Luna had a skin, Soul 2099, like this K-pop skin. Pretty fire. Good. I didn't buy that one. I didn't.
It's fire, though.
It is fire.
It is fire.
I don't play Luna, which is why I didn't buy it either. But if I did play Luna, I would be all over it. It is amazing.
The color changes. Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah.
I like it. I should have bought it when it was there. I play Luna. I'm Lord on Luna, believe it or not. Mm-hmm.
The different song during her ult is actually really nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, speaking of, do y'all hear, when you play Luna or have a Luna on your team, do y'all hear one of the, like, the meme songs when she does her ultimate? Because I definitely do.
Yeah.
I hear the Latina one in my head every single time.
Yeah, that's freaking heavy diet.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Oh, that's... God. Look up the video of the Luna Snow.
You're better off one. Not knowing. It'll be in your head rent free.
I was like, man, I kind of want to learn it now.
Right.
It's a banger.
And this past Friday, on Valentine's Day, they released the 60-year wedding anniversary skins of Mr. Fantastic and the Invisible Woman. Super adorable, and like the E-Daters have taken over the scene.
They have.
It was only a matter of time.
Hey, Conrad, are you one of those E-Daters? Do we need to be concerned about you?
No. I have no Invisible Woman in my life. I'm just a Mr. Fantastic, just by himself. And I'm okay with
both
that.
Of those skins, don't you?
I got both of those skins for sure. Okay. Yeah, they're cute as fuck, and I'm man enough to admit that.
They are. Honestly, real.
Dude, like the camera clicking sounds when Mr. Fantastic uses a shift when he gets shot. Peak. The wedding songs is just funny, like the Here Comes the Bride or whatever it is, and you're like pounding people. I mean, you're not gonna get a kill with it, but at least you get a good song. That's all I'm saying.
You can bounce around a little bit.
I love the wedding march song for Invisible Woman's ult, because if you didn't know, when you pop that ult, it plays the wedding march song just like for Fantastic's ult. But if you leave her ultimate, it gets quieter, as though you're like outside of the church. And it's like such good sound design. I'm like,
that's awesome.
Great. Right.
They're like, their skin design has been peak. Especially like the legendary skins, like the yellow quality where they change the FX. Those skins are just all the favorite. Like the Thor Love and Thunder one. Like, say what you want about the movie. The skin is fire. The guitar riffs and you're throwing lightning bolts. I love it.
The movie was great. Stop hating. It was hilarious.
I still like seeing that one. Yeah.
I like it. You guys need to catch that. It's good. It's good. Yeah, I like it. And people will hate on it, but I think for what it was a good like they're tying up like Thor's like or Thor's like a little bit. Like I liked it. Yeah. Okay. All right. So the biggest news, I think, in the community is the Dev Talks 10 through 12. So if you guys didn't know, Dev Talk 10 came out and they're like, hey, here come February 21st on the mid-season patch. We're going to reset your rank by 4. Now, The community was not happy about this. Anybody want to explain why? Why do you think?
I think, you know, they just were, you know, like voicing their opinions, like all gamers do.
The unwanted opinions for the most part.
Yeah.
In definitely the most polite way possible. As
yeah, definitely not oh, just yeah, yeah. screaming like toddlers at the yeah. void.
No slurs, nothing.
Right. It couldn't be gamers, not at all.
Civilized yeah, so. Discussions.
I don't know a more respectable group of people.
For real. There, to be completely honest with you. You know, people of culture, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get why people were upset though. Like for you know, you guys, I'm sure all relate as fellow like working 30 something year old people. Mm-hmm. Like it's hard sometimes to balance like all the different things and wanting to play the video game.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes playing unranked with friends and then wanting to grind rank and see how good you are. And it feels definitely kind of bad to have that like snatched away at like a relatively short time frame for people that yeah. aren't like streamers or grinding like college students like all the time, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I get why people would be upset about it.
I get it. And like imagine just hitting diamond, right, and finally being able to ban and like play two games with bans and then get sent mm-hmm. back four ranks or four yeah. divisions with the same people you were just playing with. So it's gonna yep. take you another few weeks
yeah.
to climb back yep. to that rank. So
literally like would have been me. Literally would have been
yeah. me. And the game is so much better with bans, it's ridiculous. So like I don't want to go back there. And that would have been terrible. Or someone just hit like Celestial or Grandmaster and just had that right. taken away immediately. Like, get back down there. It's like you didn't earn that.
Back on the ground.
I can see.
Yeah. It also creates like unintentional smurfs, right? Because what happens is that, you know, if people rank up at different times, but then they've been deranked, then you'll suddenly have people that really belong in like GM or Celestial or whatever playing in your like Platinum Diamond lobbies. And so, you know, without meaning to, people will inadvertently be smurfing more often the more often people's ranks get reset. So it's this weird balance of like you have to reset the ranks every now and then so people have a reason to grind, but not so much that like it's just a weird hodgepodge of like whether someone truly belongs in the rank they're at or not. Yeah.
Well, I mean, but, you know, after very respectful conversations with detailed points and not a lot of rage bait, the Marvel Rivals devs responded very quickly in like 6 hours from the release and like, we're walking it back.
Yeah.
We are no
Never
longer.
Mind.
Never God mind.
That was fast.
We are going to let it. So what do you guys think about the speed at which they responded to this?
Mm-hmm. Good job. Mm-hmm. Good job. Keep doing it. More of it.
I think it was a pretty good idea to, you know, with as much verbal like assault that probably occurred, I think it was probably pretty good for them to take that back as fast as they did.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. I would say it's nice to see them walk back a change that like doesn't really affect the gameplay itself, but more is just a quality of life thing for players. You know, I think that's the stuff that's good to respond fast to. So, mm-hmm. Good job. Yeah. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, nice. I watch other Marvel Rivals podcasts. You guys should too.
Trainer.
But, I highly recommend it. Marvel Rivals Assemble is the other one you can find on Spotify. Mm-hmm. They're a really cool group of guys. They do like a lore dump section at the end where they just like talk about like the history of the characters in game. Really cool guys. Really good podcast. I highly recommend you check them out. But they were talking about this recently, and they were talking about like if this was a good thing, because the point that one of the guys made really was like what if they respond to every bit of community outrage with this, where they just walk back changes, and that could be possibly a negative thing, because let's be real, gamers don't always know what's best for them. And the people that go online and complain on forums or to directly to the devs or Steam, that's a really small section of like the actual 20 million people that play the game. Mm-hmm. So did you guys think like this could be a negative thing if it continues that way?
I'll take first one on this. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. I think this is just this was their first like big season like changes thing, and so they didn't know what they were gonna do. They were like, hey, we're gonna try this and we'll see if it works well, and then the community was like, no, that's terrible, and they're like, okay, maybe that was a mistake, but, you know, maybe going forward into the next few seasons, you'll know the reset is coming. And I think that was a big part of it, is nobody knew what mid-season was going to entail. But now that they're going to know, like, they can come out and be like, okay, so this is what we're going to have for next season, so you guys can be prepared for it. And if you can't reach those goals by the mid-season, sucks to suck.
I don't think they're going to reset ranks at the mid-season ever going forward.
Well, what I'm saying is they since this was the first time, nobody knew what mid-season was going to be. But if they decide to go forward with this change in future seasons, we'll know at the beginning of the season.
Right.
But do you think it could be a potentially bad thing? Like, let's say they make significant changes to the game later down and just like some people get mad and they just walk it back. Could that be a negative thing just like for any change?
It might. But then, you know, it would be, you know, our fault. Like, we would have to deal with it.
You asked like, for this.
I think people in general want the response from, you know, from NetEase, like as quick as possible, even if that may not be, you know.
I don't worry too much about this being a norm for them personally. For me though, because like they've already kind of basically told the community no on a few things that they've been crying about, like mostly with balance, you know, issues and stuff like that. Like, you know, I think in the beginning, everyone was like, oh my God, you know, Jeff is OP. His ult is so good, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's still good, but like, Jeff is not like super hard meta, right? No. It took people a while to figure
out. Iron Man ult him immediately. That's it.
Right. Exactly. Like, people thought Wanda ult was OP in the beginning. Like, I'm like, that ult is terrible. So, like, you know, it's just one of those things that they seem to be taking an approach to like the core gameplay of like, you know, when we make a change, like, we're going to let it sit for a little while and let people figure it out before we really like start listening to some feedback on it, you know? And I think that's smart. I think that this change for me, like a quality of life thing, like isn't like a big game systems change. So it makes sense to knee jerk react to stuff like that. If they start knee jerk reacting to like bigger changes, you know, they're like game system stuff, then yeah, then it's time to be maybe a little concerned they're reacting too fast, but yeah. To be determined.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you can't really, for this, because like you said, it's such a non-game aspect part of the game. It's really just a quality of life thing for people that don't have the time to consistently grind. I don't think it's a big deal. And they've also been notoriously set in stone about other issues people have with the game, such as roll lock, for I think is the biggest one. Is like ever, like is that one. So like, I wouldn't worry unless they show a trend lately. I think this one was smart. Is like, hey, sorry, we thought it was a good idea because it would drive player engagement. Because that's really the only thing resetting ranks does. It's like it gives you another goal again to climb to.
And I think,
but everybody's already engaged into it,
right?
So we don't need to.
I think with this, like, walking back this change in particular, it's not like a major gameplay overhaul. It's not a balance thing. It's a quality of life for the 20% of players that play competitive. Because how many players are actually going into play rank? Like, if you rank up from bronze 3 to bronze 2, congratulations, you're better than 50% of the player base. So this only affects a small portion of it. And if it's what, you know, a majority of those, that group is wanting, it's like, hey, this is a bad idea. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. It's not going to affect half your player base anyways. So.
Yeah, and even after that, like, you can see it in the statistics. They show the graphs. Like, after people hit gold and get the free skin, most people just stop playing comp.
Yeah.
And then it gets exponentially smaller and more restrictive each rank after that.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah, so I think we're all in agreement. Like, NBD, let them do what they're doing. This particular case, like, everybody appreciates that, especially if you come from a game like Overwatch where they just leave you on red for 2 years.
They do. So, PvE? Question mark?
PvE? Never gonna happen.
Emotional damage.
It's... Oh, God. All right. So, last Friday, Valentine's Day, if you guys didn't know, Captain America, A Brave New World came out. Mixed reviews from the people who've seen it. But what it ties in with Marvel Rivals is that if you go see it, you get a spray, a banner, and apparently you get the Winter Soldier Revolution skin.
I did not know that. So is VR
skin attached to it?
Worth it.
I learned that today.
You know what? I'm going to say, I watched a scene online of them fighting at the end of the movie. It was fire. they did a really good job. Like, I don't see why I got lucky. Like, Red Hulk was like what Green Hulk should have been, for real.
It's apparently it's just the sloppily thrown together plot from like where the obviously the reshoots have happened. That's like got most people. Also, it's apparently it's just like the plot is almost exactly scenario for scenario, like similar to the Captain America 2, the Winter Soldier movie. Like, there's
that's
like
what the they same. Wanted. They're like, this is the best thing we've ever done. Do it again.
They got to stop.
Give me 10 of them. They're delicious.
Yeah, they got to stop with that.
Fresh stories, people. There's a lot of like comics to pull from. Oh my goodness. So many material.
So many good ones. Yeah. And they're working their way up to like Secret Wars and stuff like that, which is pretty insane.
Right. Marvel, give me a Jeff the Land Shark TV show and my life is yours.
Yes. You know, that could be like a Tom and Jerry. You don't even have like no talking, just like the adventures.
Yeah, exactly. Jeff the Land
Shark, just like literally. Just the voice actor doing the sound effects of his little like.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. That was so good. Holy crap.
Thank you.
Right. That was good.
Little did you guys know, I'm the voice actor for Jeff the Land Shark.
Yeah. That's why he's an electrician at a hospital.
So. Well, hang on now. You don't know about my. I was told to keep my day job, so that's what I did.
Yeah. All right. All right, so this topic is like, I know we are a Marvel Rivals podcast, but you cannot talk about Marvel Rivals without talking about Overwatch, because they're derivative of each other, and they're each other's direct competition, and the success of one's going to affect the success of the others, and like what one does is going to affect what the others do in retaliation, and it's just how it is. So let's talk about Overwatch a little bit, and specifically its recent news, specifically the perk system, the new characters, and the stadium mode.
And loot boxes. You can't forget about loot boxes.
And loot boxes. The loot boxes are coming back. So what do you guys think about what Overwatch? Is it enough for them to compete with Marvel Rivals?
It's a start. It's not enough. It's a start.
My concern is with this whole perks thing that they bring in. So now you've already have somewhat of a nightmare with balancing the game, and now you're going to add in these perks, this perk system that's just going to make it even more complicated to try and balance around. So you just gave yourself three times as much work, and you're still going to have the same complaints about the original things. So I don't think the perks is a necessary thing. It feels too much like Call of Duty at this point.
Oh, and they're adding bans. I forgot about that. They're adding bans
too. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is a good change for sure.
Yeah, that's pretty good. But I feel like with bans, though, like, because if you watch the Overwatch League, you know it's a lot of the same comps. It's mirror matches, or, you know, when they swap sides, it's the same team comp of May, Reinhardt, Symmetra type thing. Like, you already know what's going to happen. With the bans, does that open up to more potential meta things, or are we just going to keep getting the same things where, you know...
The same thing, over and over. And I'll explain why. It's because the ban system for Overwatch is going to be a ranked choice. Which means everybody votes, and like the top three most requested characters to be banned are going to be banned. So a system like that is always going to, it's going to lead into a ban meta much more than something like Marvel Rivals, where there's the off chance that in Marvel Rivals, if you're the only one that bans a certain character, there's a small chance that your ban goes through, right? But in Overwatch, it'll just be a majority choice, you know?
That's interesting. Yeah.
That could work.
Yeah. Yeah. I was really intrigued by the announcement and stuff. I kind of shared your opinion, Vance. I don't really like the idea of the perks and everything, mostly because it leans into the MOBA aspects, and I effing hate MOBAs. So I personally don't think I'll enjoy it, but I don't know. I do think it kind of opens up this window for them to capture a maybe different audience than the people that are playing Marvel Rivals, because I think... Realistically, a lot of the people that really like the raw hero shooter genre have migrated from Overwatch to Rivals, and I don't know if they're going to realistically be able to get those players back, but maybe they can capture some of the existing players' interest, plus like gather some new people from like the MOBA sphere, because a lot of MOBA players are probably also dying and desperate for like something new. You know, Predecessor is doing okay. League is still kind of going along, but oh my god, try being a new player to League, you know, in this day and age.
Uninstall.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of smart, but we'll see if it actually pays off. I think it could be goated. Don't know what it'll mean for balance. That kind of like remains to be seen. If it's like Rivals, though, maybe it'll actually make it easier to balance. Because I wonder if, you know, more levers to press, you know, more buttons to pull, maybe, you know, maybe that makes it easier to deal with. I'm not sure. Yeah.
And I will say, I think one of the appeals of Marvel Rivals is that it is Overwatch, as much as people hate on it, is a relatively balanced game compared to something like Marvel Rivals. Mm. Like Marvel Rivals has way more imbalance and crazy stuff than Overwatch does. But, you know, that's kind of balanced out by itself with the ban system. Mm-hmm. I personally think that Overwatch is kind of making a mistake leaning into the MOBA aspects because I think their selling point is that they are much more tactical, much slower, much more decision-based heavy game than Marvel Rivals, which just honestly plays faster and is messier. I think Overwatch is a much harder game and much more mechanically, much more mechanically
intensive.
It's hard. Mm. Yeah, and mechanically intensive. Good word.
It's more of a shooter than Rivals is, which some people like and some people don't like. You know, it's not that one's bad. It's just different games. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think by trying to be more like Rivals is a mistake where I think they should be defining themselves outside of Rivals.
Yeah.
And that's what I think. Also, like, do you really want Anna to headshot? And do you really want Tracer to restore all her blinks when she recalls?
That's a lot of blinks. That is nuts.
It sounds cool. We'll see what it means for actual, like, gameplay.
Oh, Tracer's already a nightmare for, like, high-ranked players. And like,
right.
Oof, that's gonna be cool. But the new characters look cool. The new characters in Overwatch look cool. I'll say that. Aqua the Hunter Lady, as boring as she looked to play, like, she did look cool. Yeah, I like how she's like, she has that feeling where it's like she jumps in the air and like she takes aim and like she stays there. I mean, she's gonna get headshot by a Widow almost immediately.
Like, wow. No, damn Widow, get that character out of my lobbies.
But yeah. So yeah. Also, I think the stadium mode is just a mistake. Cause like going to a third person exactly MOBA game where it's like, I don't know, is it like 12v12 or something? I just know that it's like they buy items and perks and you build and it's a crazier game mode. I hope it does well, right? The rising tide raises all ships. If Overwatch does well, Marvel Rivals has to retaliate and do well too. So we want Overwatch to do well. As much as I hate Overwatch, I want it to do well. So
I was thinking about the stadium mode. I will say it'll be nice to have, if they treat it like a casual arcade game and not necessarily something that they want to like hard become a competitive mode, even though I'm sure people will make it competitive because that's what people do. But if they approach it from the lens of like, this is just going to be goofy, wacky, and fun, I think it could actually be kind of goated. I do think that Rivals is missing like a really good just like arcade mode so far. I kind of like Doom Match. You know, the free-for-all thing is kind of cool. And like, if you haven't played Conquest, which is sort of like kill confirm, that's kind of neat. But like, there's not a lot of effort put into those. And so I think that, you know, Overwatch didn't have them for a long time either that weren't made by the community. So Stadium could be kind of fun, but only if they really approach it from like a, oh, this is just going to be fun, don't take it too seriously kind of thing. Yeah.
We are gamers. We take everything seriously.
Right.
Everything is super serial.
Where is my ranked A RAM in League? Where is it?
I will say, though, like the Doom Match map is solid. Like the Sanctum Sanctorum with all the teleporters everywhere. Mm-hmm. And just like, oh my God, so cool. It's so cool.
Dr. Strange's ghost dog. What's his name? I forget.
I know this. I forgot. I can't remember. It's going to drive me crazy.
I know. Same.
I have no idea what they're talking about.
Oh, yeah, there's a ghost
dog. It's a Basset Hound that Doctor Strange has in the Sanctum Sanctorum, and it's a ghost because it died, and now he has a ghost doggy.
I only know about it because there's like an achievement for certain characters that you get for like the progress or whatever that's like, oh, you have to like go and talk to the dog as like Squirrel Girl or Spider-Man or like one of the characters that can talk to animals. So, yeah.
Yeah, but okay. All right, so I go through all the posts everywhere on Steam and on Reddit. Those are pretty much it. I check out those spots. I stay away from the Blizzard forums anymore. You know, I made a name for myself there, and now I can never go back. But I've noticed a significant difference between the Steam forums and the Reddit forums. And for some reason, the Reddit forums right now, maybe it's because the game's in its infancy, is super positive, all memes. But the Steam forum is everybody that's butthurt with the game and their latest loss streak coming to blame EOMM, or Engagement Optimized Matchmaking, for all their failures. I know we talked about Engagement Optimized Matchmaking last week. Florida Man, what are your thoughts on that?
It's cope. It's all cope. You know?
So, good.
I should say with an asterisk. So I don't know whether they're using Engagement Optimized Matchmaking or not. What I am confident in, and this is my opinion, but I think a lot of people probably share it, is that Engagement Optimized Matchmaking is not why you are stuck at the rank that you are at. Like, it, you know, and the thing of it is, I think it was even in the little whatever, the abstract of the paper that keeps getting thrown around and like referenced by all the YouTubers, it even says in that, like, we find that players play the game more when the matches are fair, you know, so the incentive is for them to give you, for the most part, like on average, fair games. Does that mean you won't have games sometimes where, you know, it is very lopsided? No, it's just like if you flip a coin 50 times, you will on average get 25 heads, 25 tails, but you might get 10 tails in a row before you get 10 heads. And so, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, just because it's random and balanced over time doesn't mean that you won't have streaks, you know, and it'll feel bad to have a lost streak because that sucks, you know? So I don't know. I think that it's one of those things, like, I don't know if it's even true, but if it is true, that's not what's happening and why you're stuck in like X, Y, or Z rank. Sorry.
I want to chime in. If you have a 9-game lost streak, maybe it's not your team. Maybe it's something closer to home. Maybe it's you. Yeah. You
9 games is pretty crazy.
That's
drama.
I've lost that many games in a row.
It was
me the whole time. It was always me. I will say, yeah. It's EOMM is massive cope, right? One, none of us are like really involved in the science, because it's a science of matchmaking, enough to like take this. I hate it when people take like one paper and they're like, look, this exists. Now we don't know how its peers reviewed this paper or how it's biased in any ways, because, you know, all research is biased, but they take it as fact and then they use it to like, this is why I can't climb. I hate that. I just started a new account learning Captain America, and I hit diamond within a week with like an 80% win rate. You cannot tell me you're stuck in bronze or silver and it's the matchmaking, because I've been pounding kids just left and right.
Well, hang on now, like, Drake. Calm down.
Say Drake. Not,
I don't think about it. You better never go to cell block one, you know? All right. But so on that, I don't want to just call you guys a bunch of shitters, even though you are. And we are. Wow. We are all bad at the game. Accept that. That's the first step to your success. Accept that you are not the top 0.01% of the game. And if you're not that top 0.01% of the game who's actually good at the game, you're ass. we all are. There's one. Hit the stopper. Hit the timer. But what tips do you guys have for people stuck in their rank, thinking the system's against them? What can they do to climb?
They can uninstall. No, I'm
kidding.
That wouldn't help me climb at all. That would just make my games better. No, keep a cool head. Don't blame everybody else. Play other characters. Turn the F around. Sometimes.
Please look at what's happening to your healers. Please.
Spider-Man is punching your healers in the face. help your healers. Strategic.
I would say don't get mad as you're climbing, because from at least what I've seen in the lower ranks, if you lose a game, you lose like 12 points. That's it.
Yeah.
You win a game, you win like 25 to 30. You're gonna climb regardless. Don't get mad because you lost a game. You have to lose like 3 or 4 to even like counter the one win. So just don't get mad at the game. Just keep playing and just be like, okay, well, just move on. That's it.
Yeah. Get mad at yourself.
That too. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Get mad at yourself. Make yourself better.
Yeah.
Oh, and one more thing also. If you are struggling with climbing, like if you, at least for me, this is what helped me climb when I was playing Overwatch. I watch a lot of the Overwatch League. I watch a lot of the professionals play, and I would go back and I would watch my replays of my games. And I would be like, what would I be doing here if I, because, you know, everybody's a sideline coach or a TV coach when they're watching a game. Like, why aren't they doing this? So use your replays to teach yourself and be like, hey, why was I not on high ground at this point? What could I have been doing? There's a fight going on over here. What should I be doing to try and flank or anything like that? Use your replays as a resource.
Yeah. I'll piggyback off of that. If you're feeling stuck after watching your replays and having trouble figuring out what you still might be doing wrong, what helped me back when I was grinding Overwatch is I was a Mei player, you know, for most of Overwatch 2. Yeah, my goat. And then Venture came out and I became a Venture one trick. But anyway, when I was learning Mei, I started watching a streamer named Spooky, who was a not super large streamer, but a really good Mei player. And he would do a lot of times for free on his channel, like Mei VOD reviews with his viewers. And so, you know, you can find out there on like Twitch, YouTube, like just Discord, Reddit, like there's people in the community that will like look at your gameplay for free. And like a lot of times if they're content creators, it's content for them and it will help you as a player. So those types of things can be very helpful when you're like stuck in, you know, watching your gameplay and you think you know what's going on, but then you're still stuck at your rank. That's where you kind of can ask somebody else's input, you know? So that's one thing that helps. And then, yeah, back to the mental stuff, just focus on yourself and your own gameplay. Your mental will be so much better and you will improve so much faster than if you just constantly like notice what everything is going wrong with your teammates. Yeah.
You better check that recording after your camera comes back.
I'm looking at the mic. It's fine. We're good.
So I gotta say, like, yeah, the first step, like, I think in climbing, especially like, I think anybody can climb the lower ranks, but once you start getting into like GM Celestial lobbies where like things start becoming a little bit tougher, it's like you really gotta drop the ego, right? Because like you're in a game with 12 people and expecting the 11 other people or the 5 other people on your team to be consistent every match is just kind of crazy, because consistency is the hardest thing to get good at, is like to be consistently good. That's hard, right? We all have our good days, our bad days, like you know, what you ate, how well you slept, all these things affect you. Like, to be good in every game you play is an insane thing. That's why you only see like these really, really good streamers like Awkward ML7 and them do these unranked GMs and just plow through it in a few hours. Because most of us don't have that level of consistency. So you got to recognize that. And the only thing you can do in any of these lobbies, regardless if you're a one trick, regardless of anything, is focus on yourself and what you could do better, right? And I know I'm a pot calling a kettle black, because I tilt out of my mind. I'm a tilter, and I blame everybody else myself. But, you know, I always know, in every episode I say, it's always been me, and I'm just coping in the moment. And I always take a break and come back and play better. You can ask anybody that watches my stream. So that's just how it is. That's just how it is. So yeah, just focus on you and what you can do, and it's okay to tilt. I tilt. Everybody tilts. Just it's not okay to take that out on anybody. And like, I know I do that sometimes too, but it's wrong. It's not gonna win. And no. I usually only do it if like they start. It's wrong to do. It's never gonna help anything. No game has ever started going better after you call someone bad.
And don't tilt Q. It is okay to tilt. It is not okay to tilt Q and then wonder why you keep losing over and over and over again.
Sure.
Like, take a break, reset your mental. You will have so many fewer losses.
Break the cycle.
Be better.
It is okay to end on a loss. Break that bad gamer habit right now. Like, you can end on a loss.
Hang on now, because I'm gonna beg to differ on that, because that was a rule with the boys when we played Overwatch. You do not end on an L. You only end on a W.
12 L straight to the face.
Exactly. It just gets smacked across the face with 10 more L's. Like,
then you're going to work the next day after like an hour and a half of sleep.
I told you guys my theory yesterday, but like, because we're re-shooting, thanks to someone.
Sorry.
I'm going to say it again. I think there's this phenomenon in gaming in particular, where people grow up playing their video games with their friends, their family, and the people they're close to in their small little section of the world, and that they're the best. They're the best they've seen. And somehow this ego, this idea that they're good at video games, carries with them until when they play online games, and all of a sudden they're faced with the reality of how vast the world is and how different skill gap, like how skilled you can actually be at this game, and they just can't handle that. And like
I thought I was super good at Super Smash Brothers. I thought I was the best. I was like, I can't be beat. My Kirby's unstoppable. And then I played my buddy Cameron, and I just couldn't touch him. I just couldn't do anything. I was a punching bag the entire time. I was like, there is levels to this. Okay.
There's another reference you could have made there, DeHeater. You thought you were good at Halo until you came up against me.
I never thought I was good at Halo. You guys were playing Halo way before me. So that don't even count.
Yeah, okay. Right. All I'm saying is 50 to nothing. That's all it is. On a 2v1.
Hit gold. And then we can talk.
Silver three. You hit diamond, and then we can talk. Yo.
Yeah, I'm closer to diamond than he is to gold, silver three.
Shots fired.
I'm about to be platinum. I got one more game.
But it's insane to me. Like, you would never go into your local YMCA. You would never do that and join a pickup game and then lose your shit midway. It's just like, it's your fault that I can't make this basket. It just wouldn't happen. You wouldn't be like, the system is rigged. The YMCA has set me up with its engagement optimized matchmaking to make sure I lose that hoops every time. It's just.
Yeah, I don't get it. I dunk on my 4-year-old every day that I play with him. Why can't I do it to these guys?
It's so funny, yeah. When you think about it in terms of like real life sports like that, I think it makes it a lot easier to, you know, treat people better in the game that you're playing too, because it's like, oh, these people are all probably relatively my same skill level.
Yeah, dude, I beat my nephew in a b-ball game, and I don't understand why I'm not a semi-pro.
I should be unstoppable.
Wild. Also. I don't know why, but next on my notes is that I'm recommending everybody just insta-lock DPS.
What?
We're going to edit that out on the regular.
Just do it.
I think the point that you made was play. You were making the point of play your game. Because then we go out of the conversation about tank players, when they do swap, they feel like they're God's given gift.
Hey, that's for later.
Oh, that's for later. Okay, sorry. I'm right. Mixed up on what my where my
foreshadowing.
But yeah, just lock it, dude. I'm just send it, man.
Yeah,
just send it. Or you'll play what you want. DPS again. Stop complaining that no one else will fill, because you have to do it if you want it. That's what I've learned. So if you want to learn DPS and get better at DPS, you just got to send it and be fine.
Nothing makes me madder when when there's three DPS and the DPS says someone needs a slot.
Oh, yeah.
Boy.
I will say, though, I got kind of on the climbing vein. I think, like, being too willing to swap and too flexible can kind of hurt you a little bit in terms of, like, your development. Because the more you play anything besides, like, one or two or three characters, the harder it is to really get good at those characters, because you're playing different things. And so just, you know, I tell people, for me, I'm like, I will swap if we're really getting rolled, but I will not swap for free. Like, I want to play on my main ones, and then if we're really needing me to play a specific role and no one else is swapping, then I will. But, you know, I give it like a fight, or maybe even sometimes two, before I will do that. And that is probably an okay way to do it. Yeah.
As a Mr. Fantastic one trick. As a Mr. Fantastic one trick, I have had some heinous things said to me in my refusal to swap.
Can't imagine why.
And the GM games. So what I do is I tell them they sound better on mute, and then they turn off all my communications. So that's what I do. I just don't participate in it. Don't. It's not gonna help. It's not gonna help. Let them be mad. Focus on your own game. Mr. Fantastic has a positive win rate. Just saying, across all ranks, he's got like a 52% win rate. Maybe he's not as bad as you think. Whatever.
Yeah, what's his pick rate, though? That's a biased sample.
It's not high. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a quick play game playing Mr. Fantastic, and they're like, you're the first Lord Mr. Fantastic I've ever seen. And I'm like,
hilarious.
So, 40 hours into Mr. Fantastic. Still loving it. Still loving it. All right. Let's see. What's on next? So, because of my recent shenanigans in the lower elos trying to learn Mr. Fantastic or Captain America, and my high win rate, I thought maybe this is the appropriate time to talk about the morality of smurfing, and if I am a horrible human being who seeks the pleasure of destroying those less talented than me.
Yes.
I mean, we knew that.
Both could be true.
They are not mutually exclusive.
Smurfing. What's your guys' take on it?
Not everybody smurfing, at once.
You know what? You know, I'm here for it, and I'm also not here for it. I guess it really don't matter for, like, when someone smurfs, you know, they're only smurfing for a little bit, because then they're going to be where they need to be. So it's not really that big a deal. I don't run into it as much. So,
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really care.
I'm kind of the same way.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead. You go first.
Yeah. I don't care. I mean, the only time that I care is, like, if I'm in my rank. I only care when it affects me. Like if it's on the other team that there's a smurf. If it's on my team, I'm like, sweet, I just got a free win. Like, I don't, that's fine with me. But if I'm getting curb stomped and I'm, you know, 1 in 25, I'm gonna be like, all right, hang on now. This is some EOMM bullcrap going on right here.
Yeah. It's annoying for sure when it happens to you that you get a person on the enemy team that you can pretty obviously tell is a smurf. That being said, it's sometimes hard to tell if someone's a smurf or if they're just having a really good game. The best way now that I can tell is if their, like, player level is super low and they have, like, the default icon, you know, it's like, okay, they might be a smurf, you know.
Yeah.
but
I check the names.
Yeah, that's it.
If it's something hilariously crazy, like my PC is trash, they are
usually,
like, I have someone named that today that was a smurf.
That's a good game, by the way. But it's kind of like the EOMM thing. It's like, you know, it's the smurfs are not the reason why anyone is stuck where they are. It's just an occasional nuisance. But like you said, it's also an occasional buff when they're on your team. So it's, I used to really hate them when I was in Overwatch, but I have grown to understand more now in Rivals why they have them, because I've been more in the competitive gaming side of this game. And there's not really a good way to practice heroes that I'm not good at besides competitive. Like, quick play is not really good practice for, like, knowing how good you are at a character. But I don't want to go into a brand new hero that I've barely played before in my, like, whatever diamond or whatever my peak is going to be games, because I'll be throwing my matches, you know, and then that sucks for me and it sucks for my teammates. And so what do? Like, a lot of people, the answer is you make an alt account or a smurf, and then you get to where you are on that hero. So it's, I think it's also specifically like a inevitability for this type of game where, like, your skill is so relative when you're playing certain characters.
I got two points for this, right? Mm-hmm. The first one is because of how this rank system functions, there's people that aren't going to grind competitive but deserve to be, like, Celestial, and they're not going to, like, play competitive, like, for the first half of the season for whatever reasons. So there's going to, the way it is like, we're naturally going to have more smurfs because people haven't climbed through the rank just because of how the rank system works, and there's not placements like Overwatch, right?
Right.
So that's just the reality. Also, I one-tricked Mr. Fantastic to GM2. I am not going to learn Captain America at my peak, where I will just subsequently throw all the way back down to plat or low diamond or whatever. That would be miserable for me. That'd be miserable for my teammates, blah, blah, blah. And I know that me playing in, like, the gold and lower lobbies, and I'm just plowing my way through those, is not fun for the people that have never seen the game played at that, like, level of speed or whatever. They're just absolutely being destroyed. I get it, but you're only there for a small amount of time, and you literally go through. Also, going back to the pickup game at the YMCA, you would you would never get mad because, you know, you walked up to someone who is a semi-pro and asked to be in the quick game, and then you got destroyed. Well, obviously, like, are they a shitty person because they want the YMCA to play some basketball, and they just happen to be better than you? Like, I don't know, but there are, like, people are vehemently against the idea of smurfing, and they really are they really develop these ideas of, like, these people that smurf and just how terrible they are and how much they're seeking to please their own ego and how evil it is to exercise your skill on the less skillful than you, and just, like, how it's this horrible, horrendous thing. And it's just like, I don't think it's that serious, guys. It's a video game. Come on. Like, it's like, if you want, I'm sorry. I'm better than you. Maybe you should also go back to Overwatch 1, spend 6,000 hours, and still only be mediocre. That's the realistic of the situation. I'm sorry, 6,000 hours of experience has, like, developed, like, some skill, right? Like,
Just the way it works. Just the way it works. And yeah,
I just want to be naturally good at the game. That's what I want.
There probably are people that do Smurf with like somewhat malintent, but I think they're like, just like anything, they're probably very much the minority. And like, that's not who most of the Smurfs are. And that's not who is going to be in most of your games anyway. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's like, why stress about it? We have enough stress in life.
Right. The number one priority should always be whether or not you're having fun. If you're not having fun, put the game down and go do literally anything else.
Yes.
Anything else. Get a cat. I highly recommend cats. Get a cat. It's hard to be mad when you got a cat purring on your chest. Just saying. But that's it. I also have a note here that I probably should have talked about earlier, and that's about the rank system in general and how I feel like it's an easier rank system than just pretty much any other game, just because of how forgiving it is. Especially at the lower ranks like bronze, where you're gaining like 50 like SR per win and you're only losing like 15. So this goes back to the EOMM thing, but really, if you're not climbing, man, like, introspection.
Yeah.
Maybe it's review the tapes. Maybe it's Maybelline.
And not a sponsor. Drama?
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, it took me to GM before I started seeing gains like only plus 22 SR, minus 20 SR, like things like that. Like only gain 22 for a win, lose 20 for a loss. And that very close, like, Chloe, where even if you're slowly gaining, it's super slow. Like up to like even in Diamond, I would get like 30 for some wins and only lose 20 for some like losses. Like I was still on average gaining much more than I lost. So yeah. I'm just saying time investment equals climbing in this game for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think you do end up like where your skill actually is at. But yes, I think it does make it like, it is very forgiving, I think. So that's, which also I think makes it like, definitely don't stress your losses, like keep playing, you know, like that's another argument in favor of like keeping good mentals. Cause like a loss is not really that big of a deal until you start getting really up there. And even then it's like not, you know, that bad. It just gets harder to win because you're playing against other people that have already made it that far. So,
yeah.
And at that point, you've hopefully developed enough skill and introspection to be like, okay, I screwed that up and here's what I can do to be better.
Oh, and and if your goal is just gold for the skin every season, that is an achievable goal for anybody. For anybody, you can hit gold. It's super forgiving. Anybody can hit gold. Anybody can hit plat, in my opinion. Diamond, maybe not so much, because that's when, like, you know, like, the routine of the game has been more ironed out, and, you know, you got to counter all. You got to know what ults are coming up, stuff like that. You got to be a little bit more on top of your mechanics and stuff like that. But anybody can get the gold, for sure. Anybody. And if you can't, come by my Discord and join it, and you will. That's how it works.
Yes.
So. Conrad himself will coach you.
Follow him on Twitch. Yeah,
follow me on Twitch. You'll climb.
It's free SR.
Free SR. It's the easiest thing to do.
Guys, did you see we hit over 3,000 downloads? I'm sorry to interrupt, but we hit over 3,000 downloads.
Really?
Nice. We do.
Let's go.
Still a tiny podcast comparatively to the others. Yeah, but we are growing. I think we have our own little niche where we're much more bullshitty than like the other ones, which I like.
Stupid 103.
Hope you like it too, listener.
That's a very PG-13 word. Okay. That's PG-13. Put a quack in there. It doesn't matter.
I'm going to. There's six timestamps already. Six
timestamps. Oh, wow.
All right. So last week, because I was tilted and mad and I had been planning it for the 2 weeks prior, I came at support players. And I'd like to say, as much as I love you, I don't apologize for that. And I stand by everything.
They felt the love for sure.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I don't have problems with the other roles as well. And I will always share the hate. And today, I go at it. I go at war. Well, this is more of a skirmish, but with tank players. And the first thing I'd like to point out to you guys is that you think you're immortal and that you won't die when you peek corners and you just walk in the death's embrace as six people on the other team shoot you at once.
Look at you and shoot you. Look how thick I am, dead.
Dead. Like, just dead. Just dead. Like, I'm sorry. Like, even at 650 HP, 700, 800, when it comes to group, if six people shoot you at once, you're gone. Like, you're just dead. Deleted. As high as healing numbers are in this game, and they're ridiculously high, the damage numbers are just as high. I'm sorry, your supports can't cure that. Like,
no. Damage will always win. As much as people complain about how healing is, damage always wins over healing if it's three or more people shooting at you. Like, every single time.
Yeah. Unless it's through a support ult, and those are still busted, and they need to be nerfed. And if they're going to stay that strong, they should get them about half as often. Just saying.
Support's still catching strays.
I'm sorry, y'all boosted. But tank players have the object permanence of a 3-month-year-old child that you're playing peekaboo with. Like, they are not aware that anything exists in the world behind them. They only know forward. That's it. That's all they know how to do is just send it straight
down. Look at them go.
I'm going to be real. Sometimes they barely know forward. I watched you streaming earlier, and you were doing your Captain America grind. I saw you run past a Thor's face to kill the Luna, and this Thor had nothing else to shoot at or smack with his hammer, did not turn around for you at all. Like, just kept walking to the
point. That kill you're talking about, I didn't even, like, jump over him or dash to the side. Right, I just sprinted past him and started punching the Luna in the face.
Yeah, so, like, if you see an enemy tank player, feeding, like, please, turn and kill them.
And as a Thor, you should beat Captain America.
Yes, that's why I called that out, because I'm a Thor player, and I was like, bro, kill this Captain America. He's killing your Luna. Like, what are you doing? Like,
you know those moments that make me the happiest. That, like, releases all the serotonin in my brain. It's just the idea of this Luna. It's like, oh my god, Thor. It's like, oh.
Love she it. Was the support.
Okay. Yep. She deserved it. Yeah, I'm just saying. Like, I'm playing Captain America. I am coming for you every engagement. That's all I'm going to do is harass the support players.
Yep.
All right. So, tanks will also ult during support ults all the time.
Oh, and that is the worst.
Oh, my God. And unless you're, like, a Doctor Strange who has follow-up damage from, like, an Iron Man, if you're, like, or a Namor, or you're a Groot who has follow-up damage from, like, the same sources in a Moon Knight, do not ult during a support ult. You will not kill anything. Those ults heal at, like, 250 HPS a second. They're insane.
Yeah.
They last forever.
Most of the tank ults are not, like, DPS ults. Like, they cannot burst through it. Like, there's no way.
Weird. It's almost like their role is tank and not DPS.
Yeah. Right.
Weird.
Crazy concept.
Insane. But tanks will do it all the time anyways. And I don't know if they're, like, trying to time it for the end of the ult if they just don't have that down. But you should probably just wait for it to end and then ult.
It's because they were typing and they're not bound to ESDF and they hit their... I'm bringing it full circle.
There it is.
They accidentally press it and they might as well full commit to it at that point.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I'm guilty of this too when I play tank, is that instantly blaming the supports as much as I hate supports. Literally. And there is, like, supports won't... Okay, I will go back to blaming supports a little bit. Like, if your tank advances and you're still on the payload, you're the one at fault. Just saying.
Sure. That is my pet peeve as a tank player, is when I'm mostly on King of the Hill maps, like, if I go forward after a fight, after we've capped the point and the enemies are respawning, and I'm trying to hold forward, I'll die and I'll turn around and everyone else is standing on the point like a statue. And I'm like, I see what happened here.
it drives me, because there are times when you want to have four people on the point, because it moves faster with four, it moves at max speed with four. But also, sometimes if the enemy is dead, the cart moves by itself without anybody on it anyways, if your team's in control, you should, at least one support should always be following around their tank, because it's super annoying to go take space and then just die immediately. And then you guys die because you're on the point and now they have the whole map. To all that space to get angles and stuff, and you just think of forward. But in the same vein, tanks will also overextend. I do it all the time. Yeah. Same thing. I'll run around the corner and not get healed. You gotta be aware. You gotta turn around. My advice to any tank players out there is every 4 or 5 seconds, turn around.
Yeah.
Turn around. Like, what's behind you? Yeah. I swear you'll get so much better at the game if you just turn around occasionally.
DPS players too, like anybody. Like, if you're about to take an engagement, just very quick, where's my supports at? Okay, what's happening over here? who can jump me if I go do this? You know, like you'll die so much less if you get in that habit of just like a quick scan, like before you take a fight. Yeah,
for sure. And I'm guilty of it too. I tailed out of my mind and I send it on Captain America just straight to the back line over and over. But like,
I will say this. Some of you, excuse me, I'm dying. Help. I need a doctor.
I'm far away. I'm off the clock.
You are not my problem now, sir. Sorry. Some of you need to invest in earbuds or headphones or something. This game is full of audio cues. Listen to them, please.
Or just turn your sound up.
That too.
You know how many times I've been accused of hacking because someone is like in a corner, like stepping around, and I go and like around them, like I kill them, and they're like, "How did you know I was there?" And I'm like, "You make sound."
I can hear you. Yeah. And they're not expensive. The earbuds that I'm wearing are like really great for gaming. They're compatible with PlayStation. They're made by White Rabbit. Please sponsor me. And they're
sold
like
out immediately
bucks.
On his first episode. Sold out.
Anybody. Please,
No, but like you don't have to look far to find ones that are good for gaming that are not that expensive. So yeah.
So please turn around. Also, Tanks, like you guys got this whole martyr thing going on. It's like you'll complain about having to flex the tank, and then you'll have like a lord like Doctor Strange. Like it's like you are not the heroes of the game because you can play tank. I'm sorry. You're not the chosen child. You're not everybody should be on their knees pleasing you because you went tank. I'm just saying it. It's like someone had to, and you did it.
I'm with you, dude. Let's rise up. Yes.
If I wait and no one picks tank and I pick tank, I am the one. I am
him.
It's literally that Spider-Man meme of people carrying Spider-Man's body. Careful, he's a hero. No, it's careful. He played Vanguard. That type of mentality.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. Sometimes playing tank and like the object permanence thing, that's on everybody. Have you ever like been playing tank and then ran back to the point and stood next to your support and you're just one health and you're like, hey, trying to shoot someone down lane and you're like, I'm literally dying.
You
right
like have to walk in front of them because they're shooting somebody and you just like look at them with the block game. You are
healed. Oh, I'm convinced people don't play with headphones.
It's ding, for sure part ding, of it. Ding,
I need healing. I need healing.
Are they listening to the Spotify mix just on like max blast while they're playing the game? I'm like,
I imagine that meme of like the Rocket player singing in the back, like, I know it's hard to remember. And then that voice in the background, like, where are the heels at?
also tank players, I will recede on my previous messages where I don't think Penny Parker is good at all. I still think she's trash most of the time. Especially on attack or in a solo tank environment. So please stop solo tanking on Penny, especially on attack. It will not work. You have to set up traps. You have to set up mines. You just don't have that opportunity on attack. Stop playing Penny Parker, solo tank on attack.
Yeah, solo tank I would agree with. As a Penny enjoyer, I would probably say like attack you can make work, but not probably a solo tank. It's there's just too much incoming poke damage for your team most of the time. Mm-hmm. But with the other tank, like a Strange, Magneto, even a Thor, sometimes I've seen work. Like you can make it work on attack on certain maps. It's just not every map probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I will recede that I think Penny Parker is absolute trash. I just think she's trash most of the time now. And like you just stop seeing her after like Diamond, man, after Plat. Like she just doesn't get play anymore.
I think the reason a lot of people think that Penny is trash is because a lot of people up to like Plat Diamond just like straight up feed on the character because they only know how to get value out of their spider mines and that nothing else. But like there's so many cool things you can do with Penny. Her mobility is actually insane. Mm-hmm. Like I'll have to have a rant some other time about like just Penny Parker.
So wait, hang on a second. Hang on. So you're telling me that at like higher ranks, people shoot the deployables, and that's
sometimes.
Sometimes
it never stops. Okay,
It goes from never to sometimes. It goes from you can leave it in the middle of the open to I have to be like a little bit careful where I place it now. Mm-hmm. Like. So
that's fair. So mad. That makes me so mad. Half of her value is from that shift. Mm-hmm. It's like all her damage is from that shift mostly, and people won't shoot it, and it drives me crazy. I'm like, if you kill that, she's useless. She can't do anything.
The tricky thing is good pennies will like not let you break it. Like it starts to take 50 damage, I break it myself, and it gets like a 3 second cooldown. I run somewhere, I move it somewhere else, you know.
Or it's super annoying because like I have an external bias against Penny Parker because nobody I play right now has a gun. So Penny Parker is just annoying. I'm not even gonna say good against me, just annoying. It's like, oh my god, it's like webbed every 5 seconds and no one shoots a thing, and then if I go to try to kill the mines, I'm feeding because I'm just gonna get mined and then blow up. I'm just gonna get webbed and blown up, and I'm like,
I don't know if you watched Flats do his like accidental unranked to GM on Captain America.
That one.
That was all that killed him for like 90% of these games. Like the only thing that killed him was just like all of a sudden he'd turn a corner and there's six Penny Parker mines in one spot and he just explodes. It's like it's the only thing that got him every time.
Penny Parker's also one of those tanks where as soon as someone starts taking the L, they swap the Penny Parker. It's like it's like the crutch hero. It's like, oh, I'm losing, I'm swapping Penny Parker. Yeah. And then you're trying to play Spider-Man into Penny Parker and Namor just hating your life. It's like, oh god. So anyway. I hate you, Penny. I hate Penny Parker names.
This became Screw You Tanks to get to screw Penny Parker.
I'm venting here. This is therapy for me. It's cheaper than the actual stuff. And yeah. And you know, my therapist would look at me weird if I talked to him about that. It's like, what are you, autistic? Yes. All right. So I want to take a second and I want to talk about game journalists and the hate that they get and whether or not you guys agree with the amount of vitriol the gaming community has towards game journalists and how that's still a thing if most gamers hate them. Like, it's not a thing.
I feel like game journalists in general never actually played a video game in their life, and they tried to play the game and they're like, there's too many buttons. It's not a left, right, A, B. I can't do it. That's the vibe I get from every gaming journalist that I see. It's they have no idea what they're doing and they're trying to write these stories. So they need to just get out or prove that they're a real gamer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to see them ranks beside those journal posts. Like, what games we play? How many hours do you put in?
Link that career profile. Let's see that.
Schmo who's going off of whatever. I don't even know what they base their reviews on if they don't play the game.
Right. And yeah, there's two problems that I see with gaming journalism. The first problem is what Vance mentioned, which is, you know, a lot of them just maybe don't play that much games in general, and they're being asked to like provide reviews or like write articles or whatever else. The second problem is that even if they do play games, maybe they don't really spend a lot of time with the genre that they're currently reviewing. Or if they did, maybe they, because they have to actually put in more articles, that's their job, they don't have the time to really delve deep into maybe one of the games that they're reviewing. Because it takes a long time to play a lot of these games, single or multiplayer, to get the full experience. So, you know, they're set up for failure, I feel. At the same time, it is frustrating to read things as a gamer who enjoys a specific game and be like, did you play the game? Do you know? It's like, it's, I think that's why it's that way. It's just kind of frustrating as the person that plays a certain game to be like, there's a big disconnect.
So, yeah. And I imagine like Dextero or whatever the outlet is, isn't paying big money per article either. So I do want to say though, it's like, I feel like gaming journalism just lacks like integrity, like journalistic integrity. Like I saw, like, one of the reasons why this EOMM thing is such a big deal and why it's, like, in bot matches are such a big deal is because, like, some gaming journalists went to Reddit and took some guy's, like, week-long solo research that he had and presented that as fact, just, like, for all like, and then, like, wrote articles about it. It's like, this is a fact according to this Reddit thing. I'm like, you can't trust Reddit.
That was your first mistake.
And then you write a whole article on it, just like counted as fact. It's like, I don't trust.
Man, like, so frozen. That kind of weird.
I'm frozen.
Yeah.
Must be a Discord thing because I am showing that I'm still active and moving.
It's a Discord thing. But yeah. I will also say about gaming journalists is like, the reason I brought this up is because I read an article and it just made me mad because it was a support player. And I'm not going to give out the name of the journalist, the name of the journal, or whatever. But she had written an article about stopping the blame game in Marvel Rivals, which is something I can get behind. But like, she talks about how she's a support main and how every it feels like everybody's against her and stuff. And then she literally goes on to blame everybody else for her losses in that article. And it's just like a level of hypocrisy that I just like, just should not be in journalism at all. It's okay to have opinion pieces, but like, there was like zero self-awareness. And I was just like, maybe this is why everybody hates gaming journalism. This is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Also, the big issue is she was a support player. That's the other big issue.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You know why he feels like everybody hates support players? Because she's right. I'm just kidding. I have so much time on support. I'm an anime in Overwatch, by the way. It's just Marvel Rival supports. They're heal bots. I'm sorry. They're heal bots. And then they just cast ult every 30 seconds, cloak and dagger mains, and then pretend like they're good at the game. It's like, oh, I have ult again. Oh, I'm doing so much. You hit Q every 30 seconds. That's all you do. So another thing I came across on forums, and this is not just this game, but like gaming in general, it's this idea that, and I want to hear from our European audience members, because I know there's a few of you out there, that Europeans are just in general better than Americans at gaming, and that they go to the American servers for what they call free low.
Yeah.
I had not heard that before, honestly.
Yeah.
We'll send your asses back to 1776. Bring it.
Damn.
No.
Bring the smoke.
America.
Revolution again.
Maybe they're right, though. Maybe American diets have slowed down our reaction time.
Probably. Yeah. That's a fair point.
Oh, please. You can't tell me that there's not Europeans that are also just slamming Red Bulls and Monsters every two matches.
No, they're slamming bangers and mash. And beans
they're slamming Game Fuel code Boger.
Oh, God bless it. Yeah. It's interesting, though. I wonder what percentage of the like top 500 leaderboard is from like each region, because it's global. Yeah. But like, you can't tell just from like a lot of the accounts are private or whatever. So if you don't know the names, like, there's some probably way to figure that out. I'm sure Rivals has the data. It'd be interesting if they would release that. I don't know at any point, but Rivals, if you're listening, please give us the tea. We need the tea.
You know, Americans are bad.
Right. Yeah.
World War III started over Marvel Rivals. That's right. Amazing.
China knew what they were doing.
Right.
Yeah, I'm curious. Like, because let's be real. We all know Koreans are the best at the game. Games, and there's legitimate reasons for that. And this isn't me just saying, "Oh, Korea, this is a bias." No, gaming is a more accepted thing in their society. Yeah. They have more gaming clubs, they have more gaming cafes, they have all these. It's a bigger thing culturally. Yeah. That's why they're better. It's because they literally play more, and it's more socially acceptable. That's why they're better.
They also just have way better internet, like way better internet, which is crazy because we invented it. But you know, don't get me started on that.
But yeah, if you're a European listener, please let us know in the Spotify comments or at our email, themarvelrivalsreview@gmail.com, about why you think Europeans are better. And if you have the balls, the testes, the cojones.
The huevos.
The bangers and mash.
If you have that, come tell us why you think that on our podcast episode. And be one of the first of the community to have your voices heard.
Yeah, all cross right. over.
Yeah, bring the smoke. Yeah. We'll fight 1v1 afterwards.
Catch me outside. Catch me outside.
Literally.
All right. So that's about all I have for you guys this week. So let's take it to our concluding thoughts. Go.
Human Torch and a thing. I don't think we touched on this, but they are coming next week. So you know, let's get hyped for that.
It's clobbering time.
It has to be the ultimate. If it's not the ultimate ability, I'm gonna lose my mind.
All right, tank players, we're finally being fed. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, I'm gonna try and hit gold at some point. The end of the season, because if we're gonna do this tournament, I guess I should probably also be there if I'm part of the podcast.
Yeah.
Even if I'm like the ball boy or the water boy.
Yeah. I'm gonna make it to GM. That's what I'm in it for.
That's what I'm trying to go to, man.
You gotta get that crest of honor. You gotta get the honorable crest, dude. Yeah.
I'll have like 2 days that I'll be off work before the rewards kick in for the midseason. So I might be able to. We'll see.
What's that date again for the midseason? Do we know?
Friday next week? 21st.
Well, actually, for us, it'll be Friday at midnight. Balls in the morning.
Yep. All right, Americans.
Yeah. So that'll be the time. I'm super excited about that. They're going to nail the character. I just know it. They're going to nail the character fantasy, and that's going to bring so much excitement to the game, the thing in the Human Torch and their interactions together, because they're like infamously like at each other's throats all the time. That'll be super cool. Also, Ben Grimm is just like one of my favorite like superheroes, just because of like the whole body dysmorphia thing he has going on, and just how relatable he is of like, you know, this person who like thinks so negatively about himself, but he's like a solidly good guy. So he's just like relatable in a way like Spider-Man is, really. So I love that. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait for this balance patch. That's supposed to be massive. I can't wait to see Storm and Wolverine get nerfed and Mr. Fantastic get buffed, and then I'm going to be a top 500 player on Mr. Fantastic. It's going to happen. No cope.
One above all.
The only. But, like, that's super exciting. I'm excited to see the skin games coming out. So, please. Last couple announcements. Again. Join our Discord, join our community. We'd like to get things started, like community game nights, things like that. There's a spot to post questions for the podcast or topics you want talked about. So come to the Discord, come hang out. It'll be a fun time. So make some friends. That's what gaming's here for, online gaming's here for. Our Discord link will be down in the description below. Please join our and subscribe to our YouTube that the Heater Work recently created, the Marvel Rivals review at YouTube. That's a thing. So our videos will be there. The last video got like 30 views.
Hey, it's better than what it was on the first one.
What else did I want to say? We want to get this tournament going. Even if some of us can't play, how our podcast represented at the next tournament would be cool. So please, if you want to play, the name of my faction will be down there. Apply. I think I can get like 12 people. So like the first 12 to apply, you're in. Besides these guys. priority. I think that's all. Any questions you have, please send to the MarvelRivalsReview@gmail.com or leave a comment on Spotify. I read those now, so you will be heard. Remember, we want to rotate community members in and out of the podcast to have this be more of a community feel, so you can come voice your own opinions. We'd like to even have a couple like regularly occurring guests. That would be cool. So like, let's do that. Let's get this going. And besides that, let's take it to our... Or what's the word I'm looking for?
Plugs.
Plug yourself.
Every time.
Holy crap. All right. Heater Work. The Marvel Rivals review at YouTube. Come click, subscribe, like, all that good stuff.
Yes.
And then Vance Helsing Gaming on YouTube. And I will hopefully here soon start to do some short form content on YouTube. Vance Helsing Gaming.
I'm Florida Man MD on all my socials, X, because that's a thing now, Instagram, and I have a Twitch, although I haven't really started doing much streaming yet, but maybe I'll start. If I hit GM Celestial, definitely will start streaming, but until then, probably not too much. We'll see.
You can always catch me throwing and getting mad about it on Conrad Guther /Twitch TV. Please like, subscribe, follow the podcast, any comment, all these things help us a lot, and it just feels cool to know we've reached some people. It's really cool. So like please thank you for being part of our community, and that's all I got for you guys. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.